fixed risk versus dynamic risk, right? I like this topic because there has been, I won't say arguments, but I'll say constructive debates, right, on what the discrepancies between those two things mean. I think there was a time that Akinda Mola posted something last month or last 2 months where he said, you know, if you do a fixed risk, you are a baby, sort of, you understand? And people in the comment section were like attacking him and saying that, DAX does fixed risk, this mentor does fixed risk. Then later on, he did a video again to like, you know, try to expatiate on what it meant. That, most of you don't, you just jump to follow someone and start doing 1, 2, 3. You don't even try to backtest and see if it's workable and efficient for your system. And that was the premise of him saying that, man, you're a baby. You understand? Which made sense, actually. The initial video sounded like it was violent, but later it made sense. I've also seen quite a few other influencers who have critiqued or bashed the whole idea of fixed risk, right? They've tried to say that, it is not a proper thing to do in trading because how do you put a limit to your profits? That is always their excuse. So how do you put a limit to your profits, right? Just stick with me for the next few minutes. Basically, the whole idea of fixed risk, if you're a new trader, is basically having a set, consistent numerical risk reward. I repeat, a set, consistent numerical risk reward. When I mean numerical, I mean that the figure stays the same. 1:4, 1:4, 1:4, 1:4, till kingdom comes or till when your own kingdom comes, meaning that when you decide to stop, okay, 1:4, 1:4, 1:4. Do you understand? So it is set, consistent numeric risk to reward system of trading. All right. Now, for the dynamic risk, the name is opposite to what I just described. Now, it is not set, 1, and 2, it is not consistent. And 3, it is not numeric. I repeat, 1, it is not set, 2, it is not consistent, and 3, it is not numeric. So let's deal with the set. When we say set, we mean that we don't have a fixated number or figure that we use to set our TP, our risk reward. When I say it is not consistent, it means that I can choose to do a 1:5 today and a 1:7 tomorrow and a 1:2.5 the next tomorrow based on what the structure of the market is telling me. Okay, and finally, it is not numeric. It means that there is no figure that is attached to this risk reward system. So broadly speaking, dynamic risk is always associated with people that, or dynamic risks. Okay, I think I'm actually talking about risk reward. Okay, let me just finish that and I'll go to the risk part. Dynamic risk reward also is always based on structure. People always want to set their TP based on structure. They've coined their edge in a way that there is a definitive system of them taking profit. For ICT guys, we have equal liquidity, equal highs, equal lows. You know, for demand and supply guys, it could be the opposing supply, the opposing demand. For SMC guys, it could be some sort of opposing inducement level or something. Do you understand? But let's wind back. Let's come back to the topic. Fixed risk versus dynamic risk. Now, basically, the whole idea of these two things is always based on the probabilities of your setup. Okay, so when I started speaking, I was talking about fixed risk reward versus dynamic risk reward. But now seeing that the topic is actually risk, no reward there. All right, so we have to peel back the layers a little bit. So basically, for me, I am a fixed risk trader. However, the question is, have I used the dynamic risk system before? Yes, I have done it before, and it worked. It's just that at some point, it was stressful. Now, where am I going to? A fixed risk system is a system whereby you maintain risk irrespective of the market condition. That's the definition. You maintain risk irrespective of the market conditions, or the probability of the setup. When I mean probability of the setup in play, I mean either a high probability setup or trade, or a low probability trade, or as some people could even categorize as much as medium, super high, and all of that. And the nomenclature that is being used in the trading space for these things is A plus B, C, and whatever. Do you understand? So they always, people always categorize their setups based on how many times they've seen it play out to work in the previous market conditions. Okay. They have either back tested or forward tested and seen that this particular play, this particular type of pattern, this particular type of move always tend to work 9 out of 10 times. Right. So these kind of people, they're always broadly classified under the people that actually do dynamic risk. Because what they do is that they spread their risk across the different kinds of plays, actually. The word play was used by Mike Bellafiore in the book, the playbook, the trading playbook, and one good trade, actually. So when you have a kind of setup, he calls it a play. Do you understand? But in our generation, we call it that thing played out. So anything that plays out potentially is a play. Do you get? So back to the point, but I'll use a popular term that everybody can relate to, which is setup. So for the fixed risk system class of traders, irrespective of how powerful, how strong, how mathematically probable they believe the setup to be, either based on backtesting or forward testing, they still maintain risk. They do not change their risk. They don't increase and they do not decrease it. So if they're going to start with one risk, they end with the risk. So we can say, broadly speaking, that one characteristic of the fixed risk kind of traders is that, number one, they do not change risk. And number two, whatever risk they start with, they must end with that risk. Whatever risk they start with, they must what? End with the risk. Okay, on whatever accounts they're managing, be it a prop account, a brokerage account, an investor's account, or their personal account, they always maintain risk. Okay, for the dynamic risk guys, all right, as I said, they undulate and change their risk based on market conditions and the probabilities of the setup. Emphasis on mathematical probabilities. Okay, along your journey as a trader, you will start to notice certain things. You realize that there are certain kind of setups that play out more than the others. However, the big question that is now that's always in the minds of many traders that I've also had subconsciously to ask many great traders out there is that if you truly claim that out of all your setups or your plays, there are certain kinds of setups that you know that, this one is sure for me, die. This one, it's always, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, it's going to eat CP. It's going to give you profit. Then since you all preach less is more, since you all preach quality trades only, since you all preach take high probability trades, why don't you just settle for those kind of trades? Let me give a very, very example, like a very, very basic example. Let's imagine that you realize that between the hours of 9:30 and 10:30 Nigerian time in the morning, 9:30 and 10:30 Nigerian time in the morning, if you're not in Nigeria, West African time, let's use that way. You realize that GBP USD reacts to an inducement level and comes to a fair value gap, and most of the time, when you see a break of structure on the lower time frame, it is always giving you profits 9 out of 10 times or 8 out of 10 times. Now, this is just one of your kind of plays or setups. That is not the only setup you trade. So, as I said, Mike Bellafiore called it a play. For everybody's strategy, you have different kinds of play. So, some books call it sub-pattern or sub-strategy. So, let's say your strategy's name is Filippo Strategy. Under Filippo Strategy, you have Filippo A, Filippo B, and Filippo C. If your strategy's name is ICT Queen Strategy, you know, under ICT Queen Strategy, we have ICT Queen A, B, and C. Okay? Now, all of these categorizations are based on mini differences between your parameters. Yes, you are following your rules. You are not going outside your rules. Don't get me wrong. You are still sticking within the confines and boundaries of your rules. However, you notice that there are certain kinds of combinations of your parameters, combinations of your confluences that end up working better than the others. Okay? So the question I've always had in my mind was that why do traders know now, since we preach this thing, why not just stick to the ones that are the most probabilities? Along the line of going down the trading journey, and I did some, personal subconscious research, I realized that the reason why you will not see traders only taking the most quality of their trade is because of trade frequency. Now, all of those high probability setups and trades, you know the bad side of it. To everything in life, there is a pro and a con. To every good, there is bad. To every bad, there is good. Yes, fine. These plays, these setups kinds, these compendiums of confluences that can give you 90% win rate. Yes, they can produce you certainty, high probabilities, assurance of profit. However, the con is that they don't come every time. The con is that they come once in a what? In a blue moon. And if they come once in a blue moon, the big question will be that, how do you make money then? So it means that at the end of the day, most traders, Filippo just texted. Filippo, can you hear me? Because you're texting me now. Okay, anyways, said all that's kind of, yeah. Now, at the end of the day, most traders, right, would need to have all of these kind of plays in their trading. You cannot say all in the name of taking high probability trades only. You now sequester and narrow your trades down to few trades, such that you're not even making money at all, because you're taking two less of trades. You get? So, back to the point, I believe that at the end of the day, no one really makes more money. This is where my inference and conclusion lies. Both the fixed risk guys and the dynamic risk guys, I believe there is a very, very tiny difference between how much they really make. If this was like a class, I would have done a simple mathematical stuff on the board and show certain things. Do you understand? But most of the times, it is not always like one person is making more than the other. But let me give an example. All right? Number one, your risk should even be based on your trade frequency, your win rate, and your losing streak levels. However, let's assume that you are risking 1% per trade on your prop account. Okay, 1% per trade. And you have a 10% overall drawdown. It means that you need to lose 10 times to lose your account. Now, with a fixed risk person, you are not changing your risk. You are maintaining 1%, 1%, 1%. For a dynamic risk person, right, he would want to take a higher risk on certain kind of trade. So there are certain trades that he would want to put 1.5% and not 1%. And there are also certain trades he would want to put 0.5% and not 1%. So let's use a simple hypothesis. He has three risk types. He has a 0.5% risk. He has a 1% risk, just like the fixed risk guy. And finally, he has a 1.5% risk. The 1.5% risk is for his highest probability trade, which we all call A-plus setups. The 1% risk is for his A setups, and the 0.5% risk is for his B setups. Let's assume that was the categorization he's using. Now, what happens is that if they are to both take 20 trades, okay? If they are to both take 20 trades, you realize that after they calculate their net ROI after 20 trades, they would have a very slight difference in their profit margins. Yeah, because per A plus setups that the dynamic risk guy is taking truly is making more money. But don't forget, when he's losing too, he's losing more money. So per loss, he's losing 1.5%. Let's assume he's doing a 1-3 R. Per loss, he's losing 1.5%. And per win is making 4.5%. Yes, in the long run, obviously, is the high risk will make you make more money. But guess what, guys? Herein lies the equilibrium, the balancer, which is what? The 0.5%. Now, that 0.5% where it's risking less, all right, you realize that the same principle applies. It's making less money, okay, because of lesser risk. All right, in the long run, is making less money on the 0.5. So it's not capitalizing on those B plus setups or B setups because of its lower risk. So to cut the long story short, if you really do your introspection and research, you realize that unless your strategy is coined in a way that if you truly have a very fantastic trade frequency level, meaning that you have a lot of trades you take per month, And a huge number of them are A-plus setups in your own book, in your own definition, in your own perspective. That is the only exception that, okay, truly, truly, when you increase your risk with those kind of trades, you are going to find yourself making a whole lot more money than the guy that just stays on one risk, okay? However, if you are like the majority of traders, a majority of people, whereby your A-plus setups don't come all the time, all right? They come 3% of the times, all right? And when they come, you increase your risk on them. But when they don't come, you reduce your risk. You'll not be different from the guy who come A-plus, who come normal trade, who is doing his consistent risk. So at the end of the day, it just boils down to preference. One, two, research. If you want to start taking dynamic risk, you need to do a lot of research. What do I mean by research? Sit down in your house one day, stay in front of your computer, categorize all your trades, look at your journal, scan your trades. You can use your journal or your backtested journal. Scan your trades, class them. There's what we call classing in maths. Class them into different groups based on how well they played. When you class them, try to look for common parameters amongst the ones that played out well the most. So out of your strategy, there is a sub-strategy that has a combination of three things that every time it occurs, 8 out of 10 times, it's always going in profits. Class them and write down the rules that apply to that. Document it, reserve it in a part of your Microsoft Word or notepad or something. Herein lies your A-plus setups or the setups that you need to be increasing your risk on. Do the same thing for the second class and do the same thing for the third class. And if you think that it's going to be too stressful for you, you can also do as well with two classes, class A and class B. Do you understand? Class the first, class the second, all right? And you can start doing two risk respectively. So maybe you do 1.5 for this, and you do one for this, you get. Or if it's your personal broker account, like Exynos now, you could do as much as 10% on your A and as low as maybe 5% on your B. Do you understand? Another difficulty, or would I say challenge, in managing dynamic risk is also the fact that you need to journal and track these risk levels. You need to be sure of the time that the so-called A setups, the so-called high probability trades, have started to fade. It's called strategy fading. It gets to a point whereby the compendium or combination of parameters that give you your high probability trades, they start to fade. Let me use the local layman term. They call it a for your hand. Setup where you normally, you know, say this kind of setup now sure setup. Should not be sure in the sense, say, you know, if you lose you, but sure in the sense, say, most of the times, it will knock your profits. But start getting to the point whereby the market condition can't change. Changing and, right, at that point in time, what you thought used to be your best setups has become mid. All right? So what you need to do is that, as a dynamic risk trader, you need to learn the art of tracking each of those risk levels, okay? So, and it's the same thing I'm saying. When you are refining your trade or your system via your journal, study all of your trades whereby you risked higher and study all of your trades whereby your risk was lower. Also, finally, one thing you should notice and take note of when you are doing dynamic risk, and I'm emphasizing on dynamic risk because it's a lot stressful, is that you want to be sure of your emotional reactions to increase risk. You want to be sure that when you increase your risk, do you always misbehave? Okay, truly, you've told yourself that you'll be risking 1.5% on this A setup based on the parameters involved. But at the same time, you realize that because the risk is a little bit higher, it affects your emotions in the sense that maybe you don't hold your TP. Maybe you always drag your stop loss so you don't lose on time. Maybe you always remove your stop loss. You always, you know, close at the wrong point. You don't stick to your rules, all right? It would be good if you journal these things, and when it's time to refine and track your trade and review your journal, review all of your high probability setups, all of the trades that you placed the high risk on. Review them to be sure that you were disciplined all through, that you didn't allow emotions to mix with your actions. You understand? Do the same thing with your low risk trades. Be sure that you didn't take them for granted. You're not nonchalant. Okay, as per, I just did 0.5% now. Let me just do anything I like. Do you understand? So you also need to caution that. Be sure that you're not emotionally overreactive or underreactive to your low risk trades and to your high risk trades. Okay, so it's always good if you track these things. For the fixed risk people, all right, it is easy. There is no much bit of discrepancies. All of your risk is the same thing. The good part is that would I say definitely you also need to review your journal and take your journal seriously. Okay. However, since you do not have a classing system of categorizing and grouping your trades into different kinds of classes based on your probabilities or the certainty of your setups, okay, it's going to be easier to track them. What you just need to do is do a straight calculation of all your trades. Oh, -1, -1, -1, +3, -1, just like that. Do you understand? So it's always easy that way. You get. But if you are doing a dynamic risk system, you need to class them. Study your high risk trades. Study your low risk trades. Look at the emotional side of things. How did you react to them? Look at the technical side of things, meaning that are your high risk trades, are they still high risk trades? All right, are they still in these current market conditions? The trades, the so-called trades we call high risk, that you are risking higher on them, all right, are they still higher? Number two, the ones you call low risk, are you sure that in these current market conditions, they've not also become medium or high? They could have as well have gone up the kida. You get. So it's always important if, as a dynamic risk trader, you don't just trade blindly. You need to do a lot of work in tracking. You need to track. If you don't track these things, you can really find yourself in a big pit. You get. So I think that's the majority of it all. None is better. No system is better than the other one. As I said, in the long run, they will still end up making the same money. In the short run, it might look like one is making so much money than the other, or so less. And when I mean so much money than the other, I mean that imagine that you and your guy, when I want to start this paro, and you are doing fix, your guy is doing dynamic. And first three trades, where your guy risk more on his A-plus setups, he won three in a row. Obviously, the account balance will beat your own, to smoke your own, but you are just risking 1%. You're risking maybe 2 or 3 or 1.5. Do you get? That's one end. And on the other end, it can also, I mean, at the start, you could also wrongly judge these things because he could lose so much. Imagine your first three trades are losses. And your guy was risking too much on those trades because of the high probability trades. You get? His losses will be bleeding his account more than your own account. You get? So there is, at the end of the day, as I said, it is an illusion to think that one of them is better than the other. At the end of the day, they are both the same thing. You get? That's in the long run, not in the short run. In the short run, there can be biases about which who is making more or who is making less. But in the long run, if truly the so-called guy with fixed risk is sticking to his risk, right? And truly the so-called dynamic risk guy is, you know, doing the right spreading of risk across all of his setup types, okay? They will make the same money. You get? The way the dynamic risk guy can make a lot of money, he can also lose a lot of money. You get the point. That's why I said you need to track and be sure that all of your trades, you so-called high risk trades, current market conditions have not made them low risk. And you keep risking a lot of money on them and you see that you're even losing money more than the risk guy, the fixed risk guy. You get? So I think that's the major part of it all. That's all I have to say.